being captivated. Na, not. Aham, I. Mokhai, by sacrifices. Vai, certainly. Sulabha, easily obtained. Tapobhi, by austerities. Yogena, by practice of mystic yoga. Va, or yat, because of which. Samachitya, in one who is equipoised. Bharti, being situated. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior, and thus I am very favorably inclined towards you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction you like. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor simply by performance of sacrifices, severe austerities, or mystic yoga. But I always remain equipoised in the heart of one who is also equipoised in all circumstances. Please repeat to me. My dear King, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior, and thus I am very favorably inclined toward you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction you like. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor simply by performance of sacrifices, severe austerities, or mystic yoga. But I always remain equipoised in the heart of one who is also equipoised in all circumstances. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu was very pleased with Maharaj Prithu's good character and behavior and offered him a benediction. The Lord openly says that performing great sacrifices or undergoing the austerities of mystic yoga practice cannot satisfy him. He is pleased only by elevated character and behavior. But these cannot develop unless one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Anyone who has developed unalloyed, unflinching devotional service unto the Lord develops his original good qualities as spirit soul. The spirit soul, as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has all the good qualities of the Lord. When the spirit soul is contaminated by the material modes of nature, one is considered good or bad with reference to the material qualities. But when one is transcendental to all material qualities, all the good qualities come out. These qualities of a devotee, 26 in number, are listed as follows. 1. Kind to everyone. 2. Does not quarrel with anyone. 3. Fixed in the absolute truth. 4. Equal to everyone. 5. Faultless. 6. Charitable. 7. Mild. 8. Clean. 9. Simple. 10. Benevolent. 11. Peaceful. 12. Completely attached to Krishna. 13. Has no material hankering. 14. Meek. 15. Steady. 16. Self-controlled. 17. Does not eat more than required. 18. Sane. 19. Respectful. 20. Humble. 21. Grave. 22. Compassionate. 23. Friendly. 24, poetic. 25, expert. 26, silent. The Lord is satisfied by development of the transcendental qualities of the living entity and not by artificial performance of sacrifices and mystic yoga. In other words, unless one is fully qualified to become a pure devotee of the Lord, one cannot expect to be liberated from material entanglements. Varancha matkanchana manavendra brinishyateham gunashila jantritaha naham makhoirvai sulabhastapobhi yogena vajat samuchittavarti. My dear king, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior, and thus I am very favorably inclined towards you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction you like. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor simply by performance of sacrifices, severe austerities, or mystic yoga. But I always remain equipoised in the heart of one who is also equipoised in all circumstances. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in the sacrificial arena of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was performing 100 horse sacrifices. And the problem with 100 horse sacrifices is that when one successfully completes 100 horse sacrifices, he can take over the position of Indra. Indra is very worried that somebody will come and take away his position as the king of heaven. This way we can see that these demigods, often they are very attached to their position. Many times the demons take over the position of Indra, like Bali Maharaj did, Vritrasura did. And now we are seeing that another way Indra's position can be taken over is by performance of 100 horse sacrifices that Prithu Maharaj was performing. So Indra became worried. Although Prithu Maharaj was not interested in horse sacrifice, position of Indra, he was only concerned about the welfare of his citizens. The earth, when he came, the earth was in a very, very precarious condition. His father, King Vena, was a tyrant. His father was not a good person. He was a tyrant, he was selfish, he was the personification. He was the personification of all bad qualities. Hare Krishna. Sorry, Devaki? Can you hear me? Clear? Should I bring it closer? Hare Bol? Better? Okay. So, King Vena was a very bad king. So people were suffering due to his mismanagement and due to his tyrannical attitude, due to his selfish demeanor, that the Brahmanas became very worried. And they came, the Brahmanas becoming extremely worried about the situation of this planet. They came to give Vena some good advice, but Vena was not prepared to listen to their good advice. And as a result of that, the Brahmanas, when they saw that this person is incorrigible, he is not going to be corrected, he's not going to listen to any good advice. The Brahman will just kill him by cursing him, expressing their anger. They created a sound that is called Humkar. And that sound was good enough to kill Vena. This is the power of the Brahman, the qualified Brahman. And but then, from Bain's body, churning his arm, Prithu Maharaj appeared. From Vena's body came Prithu Maharaj, who was actually a Shaktavesh incarnation of the Supreme Personality. And because of Vena's tyrannical rule, the world situation became very, very precarious. And also, for the time being, there was no ruler. So the bandits and dacoits and miscreants started to become prevalent. Their activities became very, very prominent. So then Prithu Maharaj took control of the situation very firmly. So that shows that how an actual qualified ruler controls everything with his sharp shastric understanding and power. Physical power, military power, and the power of spiritual wisdom. Prithu Maharaj actually established the perfect situation. And in order to create an auspicious atmosphere, Prithu Maharaj was performing these cost sacrifices. But Indra became worried. He thought that Prithu Maharaj may take over his kingdom. So Indra tried to spoil the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj became very, very angry, and his sons actually got the horse back, and they were about to give a lot of punishment to Indra. So then, that is why the Supreme Personality of Godhead came. He came personally with Indra, and he told Prithu Maharaj that Indra actually made a mistake. He did something which was very, very wrong, and please forgive him. So Prithu Maharaj naturally forgave. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead started to glorify Prithu Maharaj because of his wonderful nature, wonderful character, wonderful qualities. And this is the verse, one of the verses, where the Lord is actually glorifying Prithu Maharaj. My dear King, I'm very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior. Elevated qualities and excellent behavior. And thus, I am very favorably inclined towards you. I am very favorably inclined towards you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction. When the Lord becomes pleased, he actually asks for any benediction. That's the nature of an exalted personality. Not only Narayan, not only Krishna, but even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, when they're pleased, they want to award benediction, ask for something. That is the characteristic of an exalted personality. The kings also, those who are controlling, that is the characteristic of an Ishwara. Ishwaraha means the controller. So those who are controlling, they are actually very, very generous towards those who are submissive to them, and they are favorably disposed to. They say, ask for anything. Like when Vamanadev came to Boli Maharaj's sacrificial arena, then Boli Maharaj asked Vamanadev, Ask for any benediction. Ask for anything. So he was giving in charity at the time after performing the sacrifice. And Bhavanav said, just give me three steps of land. Three steps of land. That is about 10 feet land. Not even 10 feet, 7.5 feet. And then Bali Maharaj said, look, you have come to Bali. You have come to King Bali. Why are you asking for just three steps of land? You ask for anything that you want. Because Bali Maharaj was so enlivened just by seeing Vamandev. He actually felt, to this person I can give everything, I can offer everything. But he was disappointed when he asked, just three steps of land. So why three steps of land? You have come to Bali. Ask for anything. But Vamandev, as you all know, he said, well, greed is something, no matter how much you satiate, how much you try to fulfill, it never becomes satisfied. So it's better to control greed. And three steps are good enough for me. Because how much land do I need to lie down? 7.5 feet is good enough. Bhavandev was a very small personality. The Lord appeared as a very small personality. Bhavana. So he felt the seven, and he told him that this three steps is good enough. But Bali Maharaj kept on insisting. So here also the Supreme Personality of Godhead is telling Prithu Maharaj that ask for anything you want. But what is the attitude of a devotee? The attitude of a devotee is, my Lord, you have given me everything, so what do I need to ask for? I don't lack anything. You have already taken care of me. And that is the perception of an intelligent person. An intelligent person will see that he has everything. Like, what is most important for him? The most important thing for us to survive is food. Krishna has provided all the food for us in abundance. Even more important is water. There is no scarcity, no dearth of water. Even more important than water is air, oxygen. And Krishna has supplied that in abundance. If we don't get oxygen for 1 minute, 2 minutes, what will happen? Like, we don't think about that. That if the most important thing for us, for our survival, is oxygen. And he has taken care of that. Krishna is supplying all the oxygen. We don't have to pay any money to buy oxygen. There is abundant supply of oxygen. So Krishna is taking care of us. Now, if we consider there is no oxygen and we got $25 million, what will be the worth of that $25 million if we don't have any oxygen? Therefore, Jai Shri Shri Gornithai Ki Jaya. Jai Shri Shri Radha Rashpihari Ki Jaya. Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman. Therefore, the devotee's attitude is, there is nothing to ask from you. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. And you are Bharada, you are the giver of benediction, but I don't need anything from you. The only thing that we want, only thing that we should want is mama janmani janmanishvare bhavataj bhakti vahitra. That we can become engaged in your devotional service, life after life. And when you become a devotee, like Krishna is telling one thing here, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is telling that I am impressed, I am very pleased with you because of your wonderful character and excellent behavior. Elevated qualities and excellent behavior. And thus I am very favorably inclined towards you. And then he is pointing out that you have devotion to me, and that is the cause of my attachment to you. I am favorably disposed towards you because you are a devotee. And he's saying that I'm not impressed with anything else. I'm not impressed with austerities, I'm not impressed with penances, I'm not impressed with sacrifices, I'm not impressed with mystic yoga practices. The only thing that impressed me is good qualities and excellent behavior. And then Prabhupada is pointing out that those excellent behaviors and good qualities can be developed only through devotional service, not by any other means. It's only through devotional service that we can develop these transcendental qualities. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavat takinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. One who has developed akinchana bhakti, unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. Sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. All the divine qualities of the demigods are manifest in him automatically. And Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that actually all the good qualities are there in the pure spirit soul. We lose the good qualities when we become covered. When the spirit soul loses its purity, when the spirit soul becomes contaminated by the modes of material nature, when the spirit soul becomes influenced by the material nature, kama lobha dayashchiti, when he becomes contaminated with lust and greed, etc. Not just lust and greed, but lust, greed and other such adverse qualities. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy. So these are the contaminations for the soul. Or when the soul becomes affected by false ego, when the soul wants to enjoy without Krishna, when the soul rejects Krishna, then he becomes covered by the modes of material nature, by the influence of the material, which comes in the form of these elements. Subtle elements first, and then gross elements. The subtle elements gives us the pride or false ego, intelligence and mind. And as a result of that, we want to enjoy this material nature. And as a result of that, material nature awards us with a material body made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, five gross material elements. That's the cause of our bondage. And the result is kama lobha dayashchitya, lust, greed, anger, etc. But by becoming engaged in devotional service, when both the gross body and the subtle body are engaged in serving Krishna, then we become free from the bondage of matter and become situated in our pure spiritual identity. So when you become situated in our pure spiritual identity, then all the divine qualities become automatically manifest. And Prabhupada pointed out that they are 26 in number. Prabhupada very clearly pointed those qualities. So in this way we can see that we do not actually have to cultivate these qualities externally. The only thing that we have to cultivate is devotional service. The cultivation is only of devotional service, and that is called Vaidhi-bhakti. We become engaged in Vaidhi-bhakti, practicing devotional service in practice, and by practicing this devotional service, we achieve our perfection. We become pure devotionals, pure devotees. We practice devotional service, and the result is we become pure devotees. The spirit soul is a pure devotee of the Lord. So by practicing devotional service, all the contaminations, all the impurities are removed. Cheto darpana marjanam. So the heart becomes cleansed. Heart becomes cleansed means the soul becomes cleansed. So when the soul becomes purified, and when the soul stands without any of the coverings of the material nature in the form of gross and subtle, then the soul displays all the divine qualities that are there in the Supreme Personality of God. So in this way we can see one of the qualities of a pure devotee is, one of the qualities of a pure devotee is a poet. Pure devotee is a poet. Now, in order to become a poet, we don't have to externally try something to become a poet. We don't have to go to the university and learn the language and learn the art of writing poetry. Materially people do, but spiritually there is no need for that. One will automatically become a poet when he becomes a pure devotee. Like we see, all the pure devotees are such excellent poets. Prabhupada was such an excellent poet. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was such an excellent poet. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was such an excellent poet. Why? Because they are pure devotees, pure spirit souls. So they are displaying all these divine qualities. Now we can go back. How does a devotee become a poet? Naturally becomes a poet. Because in the spiritual sky, katha gana natyam. In the spiritual sky, the words or the way they speak is not only in poetry but in music. So music has to be poetry first and then added with tune. So that is what music is, poetry in tune and rhythm. So that is music. And poetry is rhyme and rhythm. Rhythm and rhyme. So this is how, when a devotee becomes pure, all these good qualities automatically become manifest in him. This can be exemplified like a light bulb. If the light bulb is covered with black paint, then no light will come out. Now by externally trying to put light on the thing will not actually light up the bulb. What we have to do? We have to scrap or polish off the black paint. So when you remove the black paint, then the light will automatically come out because it's already there. So similarly, the spirit soul, being a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has all the good qualities, transcendental qualities in him. It's only a matter of removing the coverings, that is obstructing the light from coming out. So that is what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is talking about in describing the wonderful characteristics of Prithu Maharaj, and Prabhupada is elaborating on that. You become a devotee, sarvai gunai satra samasati shuddha. All the divine qualities will become manifest in him. Because why? Because then he will, a spirit soul naturally reflects or gives out. Being a part and parcel, he displays or he gives out, he emanates the qualities of the Lord, because he is a part and parcel. So whatever is there in the Lord will automatically become manifest in him in minute quantity. The difference is only the Lord has it in absolute, to an absolute extent, and a living entity has it to an insignificant extent. That's the only difference. And the living entity, what does he do? Whatever abilities, whatever means, whatever resources he has, he simply engages that in serving the Lord. And the more he does that, the more the Lord empowers him. And that is the meaning of loving exchange. The devotee tries to serve the Lord receives it. Then the devotee tries to serve the Lord even more, the Lord reciprocates. And that is the loving exchange. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Guru Premanandi. Does anybody have any question or comment? Devaki? Give the mic.
You said that a spirit soul is a pure devotee.
In its constitutional position, yeah.
So, if you're a pure devotee, how you get contaminated?
Yeah. The thing is that his purity is in relation to his connection to the Lord. When he becomes isolated from the Lord, then he loses that purity. So, like with us, originally we are, the soul originally is connected to the Lord with his loving devotion. But when he turns away from the Lord, then that relationship is lost. So again, when he turns his face towards the Lord, that relationship is established once again. So, well, we can elaborate on that. You see, the living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God. He is a minute spiritual entity. Now he has the option to either be connected to the Lord and not connected to the Lord. So when or how does he become connected to the Lord? He becomes connected to the Lord by means of a force called love. Love is actually the force or the power that enables him to become connected to the Lord. So pure devotee means one who loves the Lord. So pure devotee means one who is connected to the Lord. So, constitutionally, a living entity is a living entity by nature is a pure devotee. But when he loses his constitution, you see, for a living entity not to be connected towards the Lord is unusual. So when he takes that unusual state of existence, then he becomes impure. Like for example, a soul, or any substance, what is the meaning of pure? Say water is pure means when it doesn't have anything else in it. Right? So similarly, a soul, when it doesn't have any material contamination, is pure. So that purity is in his connection to the Lord. He loses his purity when he becomes isolated from the Lord. Now, is to become isolated from the Lord a natural situation for him? No. It is an abnormal situation. A living entity should be connected to the Lord, because he is the part and parcel. The characteristic of a part is to be connected to the whole. When the part becomes isolated from the whole, then it is an abnormal situation. So that's why I say that constitutionally, all living entities are actually pure devotees. It's only their impurities that is preventing them from becoming pure. You see, the demons in the pastimes of the Lord are part of Lord's pastimes, part of Lord's spiritual activity. So we have to understand that they are very, very exalted personality, even though as demons. Like, for example, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Shishupal, Dantavakra, they were actually the associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha, joy and vijaya. Whereas the lesser demons, so you can say that they are bigger demons, therefore Lord kills them. And by being killed by the Lord, they get some very, very special facilities or advantages or benefits. Whereas the lesser demons are killed by Devi. Or sometimes Lord Shiva also kills the demons. It's something like, you know, when there is a big adversary, then the king himself comes and takes care of him. But the less ones, you know, his generals or his soldiers take care of them. So in simple words, we can say that the big demons are killed by the Lord himself, and the lesser demons are killed by Devi and others. Well, all the killing of the demons are on the material plane. In the spiritual sky, there is no demon or no killing of the demon. All the killing of the demons take place on the material plane. Durga Devi's body is not material. She is a potency of the Lord. Mama Maya Durga Twaya. So therefore, her body is not material. She is a spiritual personality. She is the controller of the material nature. Like for example, the prison house and the prisoners in the prison and the in charge of the prison. There is a difference. Although the in charge of the prison may be in the prison, but he is not a prisoner. Similarly, Durga Devi is the controller of this material nature, which is like a prison. But she herself is not a prisoner. She is the controller of the prison or prisoners appointed by the Supreme Personality of God. She has been appointed by the Lord to execute that job. Yes.
Hare Krishna. We are not the body, we are pure spirit soul. And the proof of existence of spirit soul is consciousness. So when we say consciousness, are we referring to the bodily consciousness or the inner consciousness?
Well, it depends where your consciousness is. Right? Where the consciousness is being projected or functioning. Say for example, when you are in a material consciousness, also has two aspects. One is gross bodily consciousness and the other is the subtle bodily consciousness. So, see, when we are awake, then our consciousness is projected through our gross body and the subtle body as well. First through the subtle body, then through the gross body. Right? And when the consciousness is in the gross bodily platform, then that is the wakeful state. When you are awake, our consciousness is predominantly in the gross body. But when you fall asleep, the consciousness of the gross body may not be there, But the subtle body may be conscious. That is the dream state of existence. And when our consciousness is withdrawn, even from the subtle body, then that is the deep sleep, a state of unconsciousness. Unconscious of the material nature, right? Of the material side. And then comes the spiritual consciousness. Beyond that state of sleep, or total unconsciousness of the material existence, if we are fortunate by being engaged in devotional service, someday we will wake up in the spiritual consciousness. Now what is happening, we are not conscious of the soul. Our consciousness is not in the soul, not in the spirit soul. Our consciousness is being projected through the subtle body and gross body. Therefore, we are conscious of only these two. Like, we are existing only in three planes of consciousness. Right? One is gross bodily consciousness, or wakeful state, dream state, and deep sleep state. Right? We are totally oblivious of our spiritual consciousness. But by practicing devotional service, someday we'll be able to wake up in our spiritual identity.
Thank you.
Yes, Anuttama Prabhu, pass the mic to.
Arjun, if you could make a comment on the 26 qualities that are listed. You know, I'm just thinking, it doesn't seem to be a complete list. Why those 26? I'm thinking, you know, you would think Utsaha would be listed, always enthusiastic, or other places in the honesty, you know, humility is listed, but elsewhere the Gita, humility, honesty, they go together. Or not wanting to waste any time is described as one of the qualities of pure devotional service, but it's not listed as a quality of pure devotee. Poetic is listed. You don't see that in other lists very often. So can you explain that? Why those 26 are emphasized, and others it seems they're not mentioned here, but they wouldn't or shouldn't.
Why don't you answer the question?
I have no idea, that's why I was trying to...
Well, just the first thought that came to my mind was that those qualities, like utsahat, nishchayat, dhaijyat, etc., those who are general manifestations of the the characteristics that develop when we become engaged in devotional service. Whereas these are the specific characteristics that are naturally manifest in the devotees, and they will become exposed, or they will become manifest when one becomes engaged in devotional service properly. Plus, of course, those other things automatically will be there. But these are the qualities that will become automatically manifest when we become engaged in devotional service, when we practice devotional service.
This is kind of a list of the mature manifestation, and those other qualifications are part of the process, and those will continue on. But these really are the full fruition of that devotion.
Well, some of them will be manifest even initially, like for example, humble disposition, respect towards the devotees. Like they will automatically be there. Like, but other things are more related to the feelings, and these are the manifestations, and those are the, like say, enthusiasm is a kind of a natural feeling that manifests with one's engagement in devotional service. Full confidence. These are more related to the feelings. Whether these are more developed or concrete manifestations of qualities. Maybe we can go deeper into it and try to find out why those qualities, like another thought comes in, that why only 26? Actually, all 50 qualities of a jiva should become manifest in them. Right? Because ultimately, a living entity displays the 50 out of 64 qualities of the Lord. To a lesser degree. But those specific qualities are there. So why, instead of 50, here is a classified 26 only. Thank you, Anasana Prabhu. So, yes.
Maharaj, as you mentioned, in Lord's pastime, all demigods play roles. Similarly, the demigods, being demigods, also must be playing roles. And if Indra is playing the role, so is it to help in the pastimes of the Lord, or sometimes he does some mischief or against Lord, or he gets worried about his position? So how does it work?
Yeah, generally we find that when the Lord comes to perform his pastime, especially in the human form, he asks the demigods to come and take part. And say, for example, in Ramchandra's pastime, the demigods were asked to take birth in the monkey and bear community. And like, for example, Indra's potency or a partial manifestation appeared in the form of Bali, and Surya's partial manifestation became manifest as Sugriv. Pavan became Hanuman, like that. Similarly, in Krishna's pastimes, we find that Indra's son, or Indra's partial manifestation, was Arjuna. Surya's partial manifestation was Karna. Pavan's partial, Vayu's partial manifestation was Bhim. Dharma's partial manifestation was Yudhishthira, and so forth. Now yes, demigods take part, but sometimes we find that some demigods do not become favorably disposed to Krishna. Like, for example, Bali was not favorably disposed to Ram. Karna was not favorably disposed to Krishna as such. But we have to understand that in the pastimes of the Lord, they are actually playing their respective roles and they are creating the drama. Drama means conflict. If there is no conflict, there won't be drama. The more the conflict, more the drama. So he creates the conflict in that way. Now who takes part in his pastime? No Tom, Dick and Harry will be allowed to take part in the play that king is playing. When a king organizes a play and he decides to enact on the stage, who takes part in that drama? King's own people, right? I mean, exalted personalities. Now some take part as in a villain, some are favorable antagonists, some are antagonists, and some are protagonists. Devaki? Yeah. And then I'll take Mataji after that. Yeah, she had her hand. Okay, Mataji, up.
Hare Krishna. I would like to know, is Paramatma present in non-living things, and what is the role of Paramatma?
Okay. The first I will say that the first part of you have two questions. Is the Paramatma present in the non-living things also? Yes. In Brahma Samhita, Brahma is describing Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastha. In all the atoms, in all the universes, he is present as the Super Soul. And the second question is that what is the role of the Paramatma? Paramatma's role is to watch the living entities. Upadrashta and Anumanta. Upadrashta means one who is observing. He's a witness. He's seeing all the activities of the living entities. Every single one of us. Starting from Lord Brahma down to an insignificant amoeba. Every living entity, in the heart of every living entity, the Lord is present as the super soul. And he is witnessing their activities, and Anumanta, he is the approver. He is approving. The living entity is desiring, and according to their desire, he is watching, he is judging which desires to be fulfilled and which not. So that is the Paramatma's role in the living entity's hearts. But he is present in every single atom as well. Can't hear you? Inert, yeah. See, the inert living in inert objects, there is no consciousness, there is no desire, therefore there is no independence in them. So there he is present there, because without him nothing can exist. Right? The minutest particle, say, you can say the building block, the minutest building block of the universe are the paramanus, the atoms. So he had to be present there in order to make it happen. Because without him, nothing can manifest, nothing can happen. Therefore he is personally manifesting himself in everything, both in inert and also animate objects.
Carrying forward Ananda Prabhu's question, you know, what is 26 quality? I think that, you know, there are devotees like Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Kanishka Adhikari. So is it that 26 quality of pure devotee of Uttama Adhikari and other are for, you know, Kanishka and Madhyama, just like your 100 will know. Or other, like 10 rupees, 50 rupees, 20 rupees, they are already included in that. So I was thinking about this poetic.
Yeah.
You know, the poetic, I mean, let's see the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or even Prabhupada wrote that, you know. That is like, you know, they are seeing Krishna, Arupa Goswami wrote that, seeing Krishna face to face, and they are writing, describing that. So, I mean, ordinary, even we have a hard time to memorize some of the song, what to say about, you know, writing a song or singing a song, which comes automatically, that depends on the purity. So, I think that those 26 qualities are the qualification of the Uttam Adhikari and other Sahanishyat, which are the beginner and things like that.
Yeah, sure, sure. Like, and, you know, as we become engaged in devotional service, it begins to kind of gradually manifest. And of course, when one becomes a pure devotee, then all 26 qualities shine forth in him most brilliantly. But as we make advancement, we start to develop these qualities gradually. Like we notice, for example, one may not be very eloquent, right? At the beginning. But we see that there is, when one becomes a devotee, see, he may have come, may be coming from a very gross and, you know, unqualified background, but we see that how he becomes more and more polished as he becomes engaged in devotional service. So, yes, this quality is. Sometimes some people may have been very rough in their attitude, disrespectful. When they become devotees, they begin to show respect to the other devotees and other living entities. So these qualities, as we become engaged, yes, they start to develop automatically. But in a pure state, they will be most brilliantly manifest. Or whereas in an impure state, but cleansing,